Off the Ball, GAA.
I think the manner in which Jack and his backroom team managed life post-Mead was just marvellous.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right, you're welcome to the kickback. We have seen Aston Villa pick up their first win of the Premier League season at the sixth time of asking, beating Fulham by 3-1. Wasn't easy for them, particularly in the first 45, with Fulham taking the lead with barely 3 minutes on the clock through Raul Jimenez. But the Mexican striker was forced off with an abdominal injury, what appeared to be picked up in the scoring of that goal. Villa got back into it just prior to half-time. That first goal of the season for Ollie Watkins, lofting the ball over the head of Bernd Leno. And then 2 goals in 2 minutes inside the second half. First from John McGinn, fed by Emi Buendia, who himself grabbed the third after replacing Harvey Elliott at the break. Keith Tracy watched it alongside me. It was one of those games whereby we were asking for a bit of spark and a bit of invention for Villa, and it almost accidentally fell their way. And I think they'll probably be all feeling the benefit of that, because they looked a far more confident outfit than the one that started the game than by the full-time whistle.
Yeah, it was real chalk and cheese in the first 45 to the second 45 for me. And like, Villa were running around, they were trying, they were putting in some tackles, but Fulham were just having their way. And every time they got the ball, they were getting straight at the heart of the Aston Villa back line. And you were thinking, the more this goes on, Fulham are going to score another goal. They're going to put themselves, you know, too far ahead for Aston Villa to be able to do anything about it. 3 minutes in, Raul Jimenez scores a lovely, lovely header. But Calvin Bassey gets booked, then Sasa Lukic gets booked, and that little bit of bite that he had in the middle of the park to go and jump and really get after people, it came down a couple of levels. Jimenez comes off, Adama Traore comes on. And look, Traore has an awful lot of attributes. Very, very quick, very, very strong. Finishing ability wouldn't be something I'd have top of his list. Running the channels, he can do, but in terms of being a hold-up player, I just think he's very, very different to Raul Jimenez, yet Fulham still played the same way as if Jimenez was on the pitch. So I think, you know, the yellow cards did hurt him, the Jimenez coming off hurt him, but I don't think either team, Aston Villa probably gave us a 45-minute performance, whereas Fulham probably gave us a 45-minute performance in the first half. So it was a much, much bigger game for Aston Villa than it was for Fulham, given the start. So yeah, good from Aston Villa. I would love to be a fly on the wall of Unai Emery at half-time, because whatever he said obviously worked.
And clearly part of what he said at half-time was, Harvey Elliott, I'm taking you off. Yeah. It was another first 45 minutes where you're kind of struggling to pick out what he did that was influential on the game. You would argue probably precious little. And it follows on from a substitute appearance against Sunderland, where again he struggled. Unai Emery vocally calling him out after that. Didn't provide much off the bench against Bologna in midweek as well, and he's really struggling to find a foothold here and kind of in the harsh spotlight of Villa Park.
Yeah, look, some people will just say, look, it's Liverpool to Aston Villa, it should be a seamless transition, it's Premier League to Premier League. It doesn't work as easily as that. You're going into a new dressing room, and he's still quite a young lad, and you know, there's a social aspect to this that people just take for granted. Going into a new dressing room with people you don't know, a new manager, fans that are thinking, is he the player we want, is he not? I know the Villa fans weren't too happy with the transfers that come into the club, so there's big pressure on Harvey Elliott's shoulders. To be honest, I looked at him in the first 45 and thought, he's a passenger, he hasn't really done anything for Villa. And then when Buendia comes on, I think it was within 6 minutes, there's a goal and assist there. So Buendia really, really good in the second 45 minute. But this, you know, Unai Emery be thinking, okay, Harvey Elliott hasn't hit the ground running, but it slapped the wrist of Buendia, and Buendia is coming to the forefront. So as long as there's somebody coming to the forefront, it doesn't really matter who it is, but you would imagine Harvey Elliott throughout the course of a season will get his numbers up to
and
where he
it's a
to
team
be.
Now that it will have building confidence from that win against Bologna, a win again tonight. You know, they've got Feyenoord away in the Europa League on Thursday night. They can start putting together a run of results now. And once you do have that kind of side, it becomes almost easier to fit back into it then.
Yeah, of course. Look, it's always easier when you're bouncing from game to game and you're getting decent results. It's easier to go into the next one. It becomes a little bit laboured and a little bit leggy when the performances and results aren't quite what they need to be. The one question mark I have over Aston Villa, obviously they played Bologna in midweek, a good win. They've played on Sunday and now another good win. I would have question marks over Aston Villa moving forward, coming out of Europe. So they play in Europe. The next game for me is going to be a big one, because I look at the squad, and although there's some decent players in there, I don't think they have the squad strength required to go and really have a good crack in Europe. Yeah. And, you know, challenge for the top six in the Premier League. So I think Aston Villa, Unai Emery will have to align their thinking, because I think if they finish 10th in the Premier League and get into the latter stages of Europe, I think that's probably a decent season given how strong the top six, top seven of the Premier League are.
How unlucky were Fulham not to have a penalty in the first 45?
Yeah, I really can't understand this whatsoever. And it seems, for me, the rules, if an attacker is in the box and the ball hits his arms, the handball and the free out, no matter what.
Yeah.
If a defender handballs, it depends where his hands are. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on so much more. But if Matty Cash goes to block the ball with his leg and it hits his arm as the ball is travelling with pace, and for me, I think when you see the slowdown replay, Martinez is travelling one side, the ball is going to the other. I think if that doesn't hit Matty Cash's hand, it goes into the back of the net, and that's a 2-0 lead for Fulham, which would have been absolutely massive at the time. So, yeah, for me, if a penalty had been given, I wouldn't have been given out about it being given. It's a clear, clear handball. The silhouette, he's made himself bigger, Matty Cash, and I think he was lucky to get away with it.
The Josh King incident as well, the one that he picked up a yellow card for simulation, but there was contact there.
There was contact, and the one thing I don't understand about it, Rich, as he comes through Joshua King, he hits the ball around Martinez to the right, but doesn't ever try and, you know, go after the ball. He just thinks, oh, well, Martinez is going to clatter into me. I let that happen and make sure he doesn't get the ball. Again, I think if a penalty is given on field, I don't think VAR are coming in saying it's not a penalty. There's definite contact of the two legs. So I think a yellow card is extremely harsh. I understand why a penalty hasn't been given, because I don't think Joshua King is going to get onto the ball. He's never in control of it. But it's definitely not a dive.
Josh King, though, looks a hell of a player, doesn't he?
Brilliant, yeah. The first 45 minutes, so many times you see him with you know, if it's Konsa or Mings or somebody getting really tight to him, even John McGinn, and you're thinking, he looks like a child next to them. He doesn't look like a fully grown man, but a little swivel of the hips, a little drop of the shoulder, and he's away from people. And he seems to have that last pass as well. So often we look at players wiggling away from tackles and you think, oh, brilliant, but the last bit is not there, the end product. He seems to have everything. And given he's 18 years of age, the way he protects the ball, the way he wiggles out of tackles, his end product, his ceiling is really, really high.
They're going to struggle, though, without a frontline striker. If Muniz's injury is longer than they would have hoped for, his muscle injury kept him out today. Jimenez obviously picking up what looked like a muscular injury of his own. If they don't have an out-and-out number nine, they'll create chances, but almost all for naught.
Yeah, and there was a moment coming towards the end of this game, I think it was Castagne got to the edge of the 18-yard box and he flicked the ball just along the 6-yard box, and everybody sort of looked and went, where's the centre forward? And Adama Traoré's out on the right wing, yeah, getting involved in the Vildo play. I think Muniz would be there, Raul Jimenez would be there. And look, the one thing Marco Silva would be saying, he was never happy with the transfers that the club brought in, but Raul Jimenez being injured and Muniz being injured is a big, big blow for them. I would imagine the Raul Jimenez one is not too bad. It looked like an elbow into the hip. It's probably just a bit of a dead hip. It would hurt for a couple of days, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again next
week. They're going to have to go and buy in January, because you look at, before then, they're going to have, I think it was like four maybe players going off to AFCON with Nigeria alone, like Iwobi and Bassi and Chukwueze. Like, that's a huge chunk of your starting 11 is just disappearing.
Yeah, important players. Yeah. Calvin Bassi's a big, big player. Alex Iwobi is a big, big player. This is probably what Silva was looking at down the line. Maybe initially he's looking at, you know, 14, 15 players thinking, okay, we can compete. But when AFCON comes around, one or two injuries could seriously hurt Fulham. So, yeah, I think you said it in commentary, Fulham need to get points on the board, because after AFCON, they want to try and avoid any sort of tetchy time that may come.
Yeah, that's the most mentions of Christmas that we're going to have for now, because that's all to come. But Keith, for now, on the kickback, thank you.
Cheers.